You know the difference between big dogs and little dogs? Little dogs make little messes. Okay, Donnie's not here. That was my attempt at humor for this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for this church, Lord. And the closest that we have is as family, the Holy Spirit that runs through us and binds us together as brothers and sisters. Now, Lord, as we go into your word, we pray that you would touch us and move us. Give us an understanding of this scripture like we've never seen before. And may we grasp it then and apply it to our lives and leave here a changed people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am going to be in John, the sixth chapter, if you want to turn there. And we're going to look at a piece of scripture that is extremely known, read, preached upon in the church. But I'm hoping this morning that as we look at this scripture, we're going to look at it in a different light, at a different angle. You know, you can look at a scripture today and get one message out of it. Read it tomorrow, and God will speak to you, give you another message. So I would encourage you to take your Bibles and highlight these passages that we're going to pull out this morning that maybe you haven't recognized in the scripture before. So today we're going to celebrate our church Thanksgiving. Man, we're going to have a spread of food. We're going to have turkey. We're going to have dressing. We're going to have green beans. We're going to have mashed potatoes and gravy. We're going to have salad. I imagine we'll probably have chocolate cake and pumpkin pie. I'm hungry. Are y'all hungry? I'm starving. And there is going to be enough food to feed everyone. And even after we've fed everyone, we're going to have leftovers. Nobody's going to go away hungry. And there's going to be enough food to do it all over again. Now, you know what that's called? It's called the law of leftovers. And you can find this law in the Bible. Look at Psalms 11, 24, and 25. The world of the what? Gets larger and larger. But the world of the gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Now, Solomon was the wisest man that God ever created. And God gave him wisdom like no one before. And so Solomon writes in Proverbs, you know what, I have told you a lie. This is not Psalms 11, 24, and 25. It is Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. Why did you not correct me? I did this as a test. You failed. Anyway, it's Proverbs. I don't know why I wrote Psalms down. I got jet lag, okay? I've had too much coffee this morning, too. Anyway, Proverbs 11, 25. Solomon wrote this to his son, and he wanted to make sure that his wisdom was generated and given to his son, so his son would have this book that he could go back to and look at as he was going through life to use as a way of guiding him to make wise choices. And in this book, he tells his son how important it is to be generous and not stingy. So Solomon tells his son, son, be generous. You have more than you need. You need to share it. Because when you share with others, your universe of influence expands. But when you're stingy, your universe of influence shrinks. Son, be a generous man, and you will be blessed. I want to tell you a story that my son-in-law told me yesterday. You don't mind, do you? It doesn't matter, but it's okay. That's why they call me Daddy Mike. This is before I beat him on the golf course yesterday, by the way. Had a good day on the course, by the way. It was a good day. He said, Daddy Mike, God spoke to me I said, really? He said, yeah, he did. He spoke to me. He said, there was a homeless man that was needing money, and God told me to give that man some money. And I did. And shortly afterwards, I got a text to call a potential large client that I was having trouble getting in to see. You give more than what you have because you are to be generous. And when you do, you're blessed. Now, you could say this is coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God, divine intervention. And I believe because you were generous to this man yesterday, that God blessed you with opening up a door because you gave something that God gave you. Now he's going to help you earn more so that you can even be more generous in the future. Do you see how this works? It's called the law of leftovers. It's called the law of leftovers. When I bless others, I receive the greatest blessing. You know, Jesus' miracle of the 5,000 operates on this principle. This miracle is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. And this miracle is the only time Jesus asks someone advice about what to do. And this miracle also has the largest of all the audiences of Jesus' miracles. So it's the first for several ways. So the scripture says that there were 5,000 men with families and children. Many believe that was probably 15 or 20,000 people. So how many of you all have ever been to a Vanderbilt basketball game? Raise your hand. The Vanderbilt Arena basketball seats about how many? About 15,000. So if you can imagine looking at the number of people in the Vanderbilt basketball stadium, the gym, that's about how many people Jesus was preaching to during the time that this story was recorded by Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. Think about this. 15,000 people standing together as close as they can so they can hear Jesus preach. 15,000 people gathered because they'd heard of his miracles. 15,000 people there because Jesus gives hope. 15,000 people wanting a new life to be offered. 15,000 people wanting to participate in the kingdom of God. And they're hungry spiritually and physically. It's about 6 p.m. They're out in the country, and Jesus turns to Philip and says, where can we what? To feed these people. The first time he's asked for advice. You won't find this in any other miracle. He said this to stretch Philip's faith. You ever seen that before in the scripture? He did this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, what?
200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough.
To buy bread for each person to get a piece. You see, Jesus asked Philip, where can we buy bread to feed these people? Not, Philip, do we have enough money? That's not what he asked him. He asked Philip, where do we need to go and get some bread for these people? And what did Philip do? He didn't say, well, we can go down to the 5 and 10 cent store or the dollar store. We can go over here. We can go over there. He didn't do that. He said, we can't do that, man. We don't have enough money. Do you know how much money it would cost for us to do all of this? Philip failed the test. Philip sees a crowd of people that would take about a year's salary to purchase that much food. But here's the lesson in the story for us to learn. When Jesus asks you for anything, it isn't just a request. What is it? It's also a test. When Jesus asks you for something, it's not just a request. It's also a test. I am sure that Jesus was disappointed with Philip, but what bothered Jesus wasn't the lack of food, it was the lack of faith. But when all seems lost, Andrew comes up to Jesus and says, here's a boy whose mama has packed him a small lunch. Now, when we read this, we think of a loaf of bread like the one that Penny bakes every year, that big loaf of homemade bread that you just can't wait to get your mouth on. And when you put a little butter and jelly on that and put it in the oven and let it get crisp around the edges, oh, it's to die for. But anyway, this little fella has bread. But it's not like the bread you think of. It is a brittle wafer about the size of a mini pancake. And the word fish is not a big piece of salmon. It's the word that's used for sardines. So what this little fella had, he had some crackers and some sardines. That's what he presented to Jesus, some crackers and some sardines. Now look what happens. Jesus asked for the little boy's lunch. And what happened? And the little lunch becomes a feast because of what the boy did. What did he do?
He gave it to him.
Jesus takes the lunch. I want you to get this now. There's 15,000 people. Think of the size of the gymnasium at Vanderbilt. There's 15,000 people all side by side, scrunched in so they can hear him preach. They're all there. Jesus takes his boy's lunch. He stands up. And you know what he does? He blesses the food. Can you imagine what these people are thinking? He's going to eat the meal without us. Well, we're hungry too. And then Jesus passes the basket. And the food continues to feed the crowd. Every time the basket is given, there's more sardines and there's more crackers. There's more sardines and there's more crackers. Jesus not only feeds them physically, he also feeds them spiritually. And this is how Jesus works. He asks for what he desires. We give to Jesus what he asks. And then Jesus uses what we give, even the smallest gift. Do you see that? This is how he works. He asks for what he desires. He asks something from us. And when we give it to him, he takes it and he uses it. Even the smallest of gifts he uses. Anything you have is valuable if you're willing to give it to Jesus. After the meal was finished, how many baskets were left over? Do you remember? When the people had eaten their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted." They went to work and filled what? Large baskets with leftovers from the 5 barley loaves. Now, you got to ask a question. When Scripture is that definitive, why did the Lord want us to know that there were 12 baskets left over? Have you ever thought about that? This is going to get good. 12 in Scripture represents God's people. 12 in Scripture represents God's people. So what he is doing, he is saying there's 12 baskets left over because I have fed physically and spiritually my people. But he's not only talking about the people that are gathered there that day. He's also talking about a people of a future time. He's also talking about a time when he'll be in the upper room and he will do something very special for his people. Now, were the people standing or sitting, does it say? No, they were actually standing. So he tells them to take a seat. But when he tells them to take a seat, look at what the Scripture says. Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was what? Now, why would Scripture be so descriptive as to tell us that there were 12 baskets, and now it tells us that there was much grass in this place? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? He makes me lie down in what? In green pastures. So now what you're seeing is that Christ is feeding this 15,000 people. There are 12 baskets left over. It represents that these are God's people. And now you look and the Scripture tells us that they're all gathered together, 15,000 of them on this green grassy pasture. And what he is saying to them, I am your shepherd, and when I am your shepherd, you're not going to have need of anything, nothing at all. I will be everything that you need in life. You will need nothing else. For when you have me, you have it all. You see, Jesus is giving them a glimpse of the future. He also said, I am the what of life? Bread. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. I am the Lord your shepherd. With me, you're not going to want anything. You see, Jesus is feeding this people physically. He's also feeding them spiritually. And all because a little boy was willing to share his lunch. Now, I got to tell you, do you know who this little boy is in this story? It's you and me. It's us. We all have lunches in our possession. We all have talents. We have abilities. We have time and we have resources. The little boy didn't say, Lord, you can have one fish and you can have one cracker, but I'm going to keep two fish and four loaves or four crackers for me. He didn't say that. He says, I'll give you all of it. Take everything. You see, that's what God wants from us. That's what God wants from us, everything. He wants us all in. He doesn't want not just part of in. He doesn't want just one foot in. He wants us all in. He wants us to say, here I am, Lord, I'm yours. All that you gave me is yours. And when we do that, we will find the law of leftovers. What we give, Jesus takes, he subtracts, and then he multiplies. Did you get that? Jesus takes, he subtracts, and then he multiplies. So this morning, here's the question to us, church. Are we giving generously to God, or are we holding back? Are we all in? Or are we part in? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much. Lord, we pray that you would lay on our hearts this morning. Where are we in our relationship with you? Are we all in? Are you everything to us? Are you the most important thing in our life? Do we think about you all day long? Do we pray about small decisions, big decisions? Do we just stop and say every now and then, Lord, I love you? Are we all in? Have we said, Lord, here I am. Take me, use me, I am yours. Are we all in? Or are we holding back? Oh, churches would be different if we were all in. People would be on fire if you're all in. People would be spiritually fed if we're all in. We'd always be have enough to eat because Jesus is the bread of life. We'd always be not be thirsty because with him we will never thirst again if we're all in. If we're all in. Lord, let us be all in. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, the bread of life.